Hello and welcome to episode number 8 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown joined by JK.
Hey.
We are going to be doing another introduction beginners episode today. We're going to be talking about command cards, but first off, just some quick housekeeping items. We want to thank all of our subscribers, everyone who's subscribing on all of the devices. It's giving us a lot of traffic and we are loving every bit of it. We need iTunes reviews. If you can please go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review or provide us with constructive feedback. Tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like, what you'd like us to change. We would love to take all of your feedback and make the podcast better. But again, we do need iTunes reviews. So if you could leave them for us, that'd be amazing. And again, also you can contact us on social media. We've got our Facebook page at Zion's Finest - Imperial Assault. And if you want to get on our Slack channel, send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. We would love to have you on the Slack channel. We use it as a forum for talking about lists, arranging vassal games, shooting ideas back and forth with each other. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, we got like four people from the podcast already joined on, so we'd love more.
Yes, we want everybody. Yeah. We just want the Slack channel to constantly be going. Mm-hmm. It'll be tons of fun. We'll just devote even more of our lives to Imperial Assault. But first off, before JK takes it away, I just want to do a quick addendum. So in our last beginners episode, we talked about list building and we talked about just like some things to think about when you're building lists. I just wanted to have a quick addendum. One thing I wanted to emphasize, especially for new players, and these episodes are designed for people who are just getting into Imperial Assault, want content, want to learn, but don't quite understand in terms of like all of the content that's available, that there are at least 4 go-to competitive lists that are both fun, competitive, and thematic. And I just wanted to give just a very quick sketch of those. And so just something that you can, if you're new, you can just start diving into. So the first is Vader Palp. We've talked about this ad nauseum before, but again, that's fun. It's very competitive. It's very thematic. Most of the time it revolves around Vader with Palpatine, 2 sets of elite jet troopers and 2 officers. So with that, you will need to get Jabba's Realm to get jet troopers and Heart of the Empire. So those are the two big box expansions that will give you what you need.
You don't need Heart of the Empire, right? You just, because there's the Palpatine expansion pack.
You need it for the Vader fix, though.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
That's the only problem. Yeah. I mean, if you can get someone to loan that card to, I mean, that's literally the only card you're getting. And obviously there's some great content in Heart of the Empire, but if you can get a friend to loan you the Vader fix, then that's totally fine.
Never mind.
It's about whatever works. The next list is Jedi Luke and Han. Now there is Regionals was recently won by this very list by a guy named Brett Kelly back East. He was running in a very competitive meta, and he ran Jedi Luke, Han Solo, again with the fix, that's also in Heart of the Empire, and won. You can check his list out if you go onto the forums, but basically it revolves around Jedi Luke, Han, Hera, Jin, care package, you know, all the basic things, but obviously the core element of the list is this Jedi Luke and Han. Very cool, very thematic, very fun. Next thing is Rebel Smugglers. This is something more along the lines of what I would run, but this is where you've got all these Rebel Smugglers. You've got Chewie, you've got Han, you've got Lando, and you've got Jin, and you kind of just take what you want in terms of your playstyle, what you want to field, but they're all thematic, they're all smugglers, they're all, you know, obviously you've got Han and Chewie. I don't think those two are quite as competitive of a mix, but still good. And especially Han, Lando, and Jin is a great trio. And then finally, a good competitive thematic list is something like Droid Hunters. I'm actually glad JK's here because this is very similar to what JK ran in the Denver Regionals, but it's good in that you can do things like IG-88 with BT, you know, and Sentry Droids, like all these like cool droid, like a very thematic, awesome hunter damage dealing brutalizing list. So I just wanted to give that quick addendum. If you want, you can follow up with us. We can talk about it in the Slack channel if you've got more questions in terms of like fleshing it out, like what the command cards are and what the deployment cards look like. But I just want to give that as an intro. Take it away, JK.
Okay, so today we're just going to talk about command cards. And we're going to talk a little bit in depth about those lists that we talked about. But the first thing we want to talk about is the basic staples of it. We've broken it down into essentially 3 parts. So we have a basic staple, archetype specific, and then unique specific cards that should be included. And we've broken those down into 3 tiers. And these are not official tiers. We're not, you know, this isn't gospel or anything along those lines. Essentially what we have is tier 1 is you're crazy not to take them. Tier 2 is situational. You're probably going to take them more than you're not going to take them. And then tier 3 is a niche take, which is if you're playing a certain list, you really should take it. And so I'm just going to start. We're going to start with the basic staples. These are things that really should be in 99% of the lists. Essentially what they are is they're huge swing cards. The first two is Take Initiative and Negation. Negation is in there simply for Take Initiative. Take Initiative is as big a card as you're going to get just because that swing of going first versus going second, especially with, you know, Vader, Han, all these different people that want to shoot or get an extra swing in. Take Initiative is just, there's a reason why it's in every list. I've seen people not run it when they have like four or five activations, and even still, I think I would run it, but that kind of is what it is. The other basic staples are about removing dice, and one is Element of Surprise. The reason that's a staple, in my opinion, is it costs zero, and it just basically is a free damage, especially against white dice, where you don't want to waste a random attack. You have a focused attack. You don't want to just throw it away. And the other is Tough Luck. Tough Luck, you're going to get some pushback on it. People might think it's tier 2. I know a lot of people don't run it, basically, but there's so much reroll between Han, Vader, defensive rerolls, weak ways. So much stuff has rerolls that you're going to run into a situation where it actually does come in handy.
Yeah, I think a cool thing to think about Tough Luck is it's kind of like an inverse Element of Surprise in that you're removing a dice, not an inverse, but it's kind of like another side of that where you're removing a dice, but it's even better because you remove it after you've seen it. So, you know, it's not Element of Surprise where it's like they roll the dodge and you're like, oh, I don't want you to have that. You know, it's oh, you rolled something, you rerolled something, good, I don't want you to have that. Or Vader rerolls a defensive die that's a three block, or he rerolls a one red into a three red, right? And you're completely getting rid of the card.
Yeah, it's both those cards give you a level of control in a place where you didn't really have control before. And that's why I think they're tier one must includes.
Great call. Okay, so for tier two, we've got these cards are, again, like JK said, they're not always takes, but most of the time you should consider why you wouldn't take them if you're not going to take them in terms of like what else you're trying to get out of your list. So for example, first off, we've got Brace for Impact and or Stealth Tactics. What those do is they add defense die to when your figures are declared as the target of an attack. Brace for Impact adds a black die. Stealth Tactics adds a white die. Now, I think Brace for Impact is better. It is better. And the black die is going to give you more blocks and it's going to be more consistent. Obviously, Stealth Tactics giving you another white die is always scary to shoot down. But that's something to think about in terms of if you've got figures that you want to get a lot of mileage out of, like Han or Vader or Jedi Luke, cards like that give them a little bit more durability so they can stay around for another attack or two. So good cards. Armed Escort is another one. With droids becoming a bigger and bigger deal, it gives, in effect, a C-3PO. It gives an evade to everybody within two spaces. You play it at the start of your activation. And for the whole round, it gives that free evade to everyone within two spaces. It's a must-take if you're running a smuggler box like Han and Jin. I actually don't take it in my smuggler box because Lando doesn't benefit from it as much. But Jin loves it. But most of the time, I don't want Jin to take that many shots. But it's a great card. Blitz is another one. I think this is almost tier one. I would say it probably is tier one-ish, although I don't run in a lot of my lists, but for straightforward damage dealing control, it's a great card. Adds a surge when you need it. It's awesome. I also don't run it because most of the time I'm running Hera and I rarely need an additional blitz or additional surge. Next is Planning and Officer's Training. Card draw. These cards are focused on card draw. They're awesome. They work best with leaders, so you kind of want to think about that in terms of planning requires you to have a leader spend an action, and Officer's Training, you don't get the card draw unless you have a leader performing the attack. But those are just things to think about in terms of list building. They're great for card draw. Finally, we've got some movement cards. We got Fleet-Footed and Urgency. Again, these all come in the core box. Fleet-Footed and Urgency do, and they're just great for giving you some additional movement. Then we have Single Purpose. Single Purpose is an interesting card because what it does is it adds value to any figure you've got that is performing a special action, like a valuable special action. A great example that no one's really going to think about except for people who run MHD is MHD, because what MHD does is he spends an action in order to perform a heal. Now, if you have got, let's say, Chewbacca, who's been taking damage, let's say he's got 8 damage on him, you can heal him for 3. But if you've got single purpose, you can heal him for 6. He goes from needing 6 damage to die to needing 12 damage to die. So in effect, we just have to start over again on Chewie. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing card. So those are just like some good tier 2 cards. And again, like, we're not talking about everything, but like, these are just, if you're thinking about, okay, I want to start building a deck, a command deck, these are good cards. They're good in every list. Mostly every list across all factions.
Yeah. I literally just added single purpose. I'd kind of forgotten it, but single purpose and To the Limit are two cards that are situational. I don't know if single purpose is 2 or 3 tier, cause you have to have the right people to do it. But To the Limit as well is something that if you pull it off right, I used to play Bossk and I would run an Indiscriminate Fire and then To the Limit and single purpose another Indiscriminate Fire and then just heal his stun. That's brutal. And it just, I killed like 6 stormtroopers in 1 activation once because of it.
Yeah. That's cool.
But again, it's not going to work in every list. So that's kind of why it's there. The tier 3 are situational ones. The first one I think is going to be a little controversial. It's Prepared for Battle. I don't necessarily love it as much as a lot of people do. I totally see the idea behind it. It's just, it's one of those cards that if you don't get it round 1, because it costs 2, you know, if you don't get it round 1, it's hard to have a leader next to someone else to get them damage in that block. But it's, if it hits, it's totally awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
The next is the big damage things. Crush is the one that I put down. Anything that just adds a ton of damage, and we'll get to the archetype specific ones in a minute, but Crush is just 4 damage that's unblockable if you have a massive figure. So if you have a massive figure, it's a really good idea to look at least. Positioning advantage, again, unmitigated damage. It costs 0. There's tons and tons of battle for those 0 spots right now. There are a lot of good 0 cost cards. The next is Wild Attack. If you have some way to mitigate the white damage, Weequays, some kind of reroll, anything along those lines, then Wild Attack is awesome because it just adds a red dice. And the last is Change of Plans and New Orders. So Change of Plans, they're both kind of the same. You're basically exhausting one deployment card to activate another one. I played Change of Plans one time when I was running my Hunter list, my Scum Hunters, and I actually Change of Plans out Jabba to reactivate Onar. I think, yeah, because they're both Hunt, because they're both, or sorry, actually, no, not that one. I did it with Vinto, because they're both smugglers. Mm. Because Jabba's not a hunter. But stuff like that, like, it's, I know that Brett ran it with the Luke and Han list to activate Luke or activate Han just completely out of turn because they're both leaders. And then the last is, and then New Orders, we talked about, that's kind of an Empire, it's more Empire focused just because they have those officers. And so if you can keep an officer behind or really close to one of the troops of any sort, like if you're running sentry droids or jet troopers and you have them right next to them, it's a really good idea to play that so that you can spend those double activation and reactivate one of these hard hitting units. I had it hit on me where someone reactivated an ATDP.
Oh,
and that was awful.
Yeah, that is awful.
That turned it pretty quick. Next, we're going to jump into the archetype specific cards. The first archetype specific is just going to be Hunters, which I'm just going to talk about. I'm going to run through them. If you're running Hunters, you will run these 3 cards. If you do not run these 3 cards, I don't know what to tell you. You're not making a very good list. One is Assassinate. It's 3 damage. It is the difference between a kill and not a kill in like 95% of single attack figures. Like outside of your Luke, Han, and Vader, if an Assassinate will kill basically anyone else in any of the Hunter lists. Heightened reflexes and tools for the job can be the same thing. They're normally a second attack to finish someone off. Heightened reflexes is essentially just a red dice. Tools for the job is essentially a red dice. You add any one dice, but more often than not, it's just a red dice. Heightened reflexes just removes the dice. Play all 3 of them. Like a Hunter list should just start with those 3 cards. The tier 2 is Glory of the Kill. Something that's very situational. IG-88 can use Glory of the Kill to great effectiveness because he has 15 health with his updated, his focused on the kill. And so if you can get 3 health back with his block, chances are you're making them get at least one more attack in. And that's a big amount of, that's a huge amount of damage that you're bringing back.
Absolutely. Okay, so next we've got Smugglers. So these are Weequays, Vinto, Han, Lando, Jin, I'm trying to think if there's any other great smugglers. None are really coming to mind, but if you're running these guys, these are the cards you need to think about. Tier one, best card in the game is On the Lamb. Besides maybe Son of Skywalker, but I honestly think On the Lamb's like the best card in the game.
I think just by letting more than one person use it, it has the edge.
Yeah, exactly. Because what you can do is, with On the Lamb, is you can be aggressive with your smugglers or not. And when someone has got a 9, 10 damage attack coming at you, you play On the Lamb. And now that it's better than a dodge, because a dodge can be mitigated. The attack can just miss and you're totally safe. It will win games. That card will win games. The other tier one is Tools to the Job. Just like JK was saying, you need to take Tools to the Job if you're taking smugglers. Tier two, these are cards that are more niche in the sense of there is a lot of competition if you're running Scum for the, you know, these tier two cards, like not the best, but still good. And if you're running Rebels, it's kind of the same problem where there's just a lot of competition for these not tier one cards. So you've got Run for Cover, allows you to remove a attack dice when an attack is declared on you. Toxic Dart weakens a figure, I think, within three spaces and deals it a strain. Stimulants, it gives you a movement point and you become focused, but I think you take a damage. You or an adjacent figure takes a damage. Heart of Freedom, it's Rebel specific, but this is a great card for smugglers because it allows them to discard a harmful condition, recover two life, and gain two movement points. That is awesome. Again, kind of like a mini On the Lamb. It gives you just a little bit of survivability and durability and movement when you need it. And Smuggled Supplies, this card is amazing on someone like Han or Jin, because what it does is at the start of your activation, you can choose one of the following. Either you recover two damage, you get to apply a surge to your attacks for the rest of the round. So if Han is taking his three shots, then he gets an extra surge on every one of them. Or you apply an evade every time you're attacked. That is amazing on someone like Jin, because every evade also counts as a block. So she can turn that, you know, single evade into a block and, you know, do her running away. And finally, a tier three. This is a card I used to run a lot when the Bantha was being played, but I don't run it anymore. Is Slippery Target, and what that does is when a figure enters a space adjacent to you, you can perform a move. So if you've got something like Vader coming in on you or a Bantha, it's awesome for being able to give you a little bit of movement and get away. The problem is now it's really hard to trigger. There's not a ton of melee figures, and Vader, he's also got his Force Choke. You know, he's got ways to kill you. A smart Vader player might not want to attack you in terms of like doing a melee attack. He might just want to try and Force Choke you because he's worried you have On the Lamb. So it's just not a great card, and it costs two. So, I don't know. I mean, it's tier three. I used to run it, but I just don't think it's really got a place right now.
Yeah, and I mean, the Hunter Smuggler command card list is so... It's very static, because realistically, if you're running Vinto, Greedo, and Weak Ways, you're running Assassinate, Heightened Reflexes, Tools for the Job, and On the Lamb, and there's 10 points already.
Yep, that's it.
And then, yeah, and then you're probably running Negation. Again, you should run Negation,
yep.
So that's 11 points. You should run Tough Luck because of Weak Ways,
yep.
And so there's 12 points. And you're at 12.6 cards, so you have a ton of zero cost cards in there.
Yeah,
but they're worth it. Like that's the thing.
They're so good.
Every single card of them is worth every last point. The next list we're going to talk about is anything troopers related. So this is going to be Vader Palp has this a little bit. I was running some of the elite sentries, and this has it. Not a ton of people run troopers as much as they used to, but these are still your adjacent cards. The top one is assuming you have Alliance Rangers is the one I'm forgetting. One of those three is basically what you're gonna look at. Call the Vanguard. Anything that gives you extra attack is good. And so Call the Vanguard gets you an attack and a move in whichever order. So you can run up and take your shot, or you can take your shot and run off. So either way, you're getting a ton of value out of it. It's two. It does only work on a handful of troops, but if you have those troops, you should play Call the Vanguard. The next two are... the next ones are in that tier two, situational, Grenadier and Concentrate Fire. I play Concentrate Fire more than I play Grenadier, even though I actually think Grenadier is getting its place again because of Jet Troopers being able to run in or just like kind of be sitting in a spot, take a shot, Grenadier, and run out at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just unmitigated damage, and Concentrate Fire is just a red dice. Like, the stun hurts, but it's not bad enough to worry about it. The last is, if you're running anything under 3 points, is Reinforcements. Reinforcements sort of had its day. This is a tier 3 list. Again, it had its day. It used to be arguably the best card in the set or in the game because of how good troopers were. And then now no one really runs elite stormtroopers, which is what reinforcements was sort of built for. Things I could see using it. I think you could use it for the elite riot troopers.
Yeah.
Because having to chew through another 7 health of a riot trooper is just brutal.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think like that's it. It's tier 3 because the only competitive figure that can really run it right now is the Riot Trooper.
Yeah, and I mean, Riot Trooper, we don't even know if it's really like that competitive.
That's true.
People like it. I think people, there's mixed emotions on it, but it's not any sort of like alpha tier good.
No. I mean, it has been in a lot of not winning regional lists, but it has been in a lot of top 8 regional lists, but I think a lot of that is just the newness factor. Yeah. And because it's also paired with Darth Vader, so
yeah,
that just makes it awesome.
If they get more brawler cards, it'll be better as well.
And better guardian cards.
Yeah.
So, okay, so next we've got Jedi. Now, this is obviously going to be Luke, Jedi Luke. Farm Boy Luke he's kind of his own category, mostly because he's not as competitive anymore, and also because he doesn't operate like a normal Jedi. Jedi is Jedi Luke, Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, Davith a little bit. Diala is just not there anymore, or she really never was. So with these figures, what you've got is melee attacks, strong melee attacks, and you need to be able to close. You need to be able to survive at least an activation, if possible, either through positioning or through defense. And you got to be able to get off attacks to start disrupting. Most of the time, you're trying to aim for the back of the enemy line. So the tier 1 cards are movement cards. It's force rush. It's force push. Force jump isn't as good on these guys because Ahsoka doesn't need it. Obi-Wan, it's good. Obviously, it's good to get an extra movement, but it's not necessary. He's got a movement of 3, or he's got to move him to 4. I would say it's a good card, but not absolutely mandatory unless you're taking just a whole ton of Jedi. And it's kind of the same thing with Luke, where if you're taking a bunch of Jedi, force jump maybe is good, but it's only an extra movement point. It does give you mobility for a little bit, but I don't think that's probably not a tier 1. I would say that one's actually a tier 2. Another tier 2 card is a card like Force Surge. It's an awesome card. What it is, at the end of your activation, you can do 2 damage in a surge. You can move one space and do 2 damage and a surge, a strain, to an adjacent figure. So it's great for finishing somebody off, getting a little bit more movement in. And then finally, we've got tier 3 cards. I used to run these a ton. I think they actually will have a place again, but they're just not really working with my particular lists. But these are cards that are all about defense. So you've got knowledge and defense. The problem with this card is it requires an action, but what it does is it adds a white die to all attacks against you for the rest of the round. It's an amazing card. I mean, if you bomb Jedi Luke in, and then you can get him going with knowledge and defense and still get his attacks off. Now they're trying to attack Jedi Luke with his evade built in and 2 white die. It's brutal. And then hiding cards. These are cards like Force Illusion, Camouflage, Deflection. Again, also paired with cards like Bracer Impact and Stealth Tactics that we talked about earlier. Again, these are cards that are just about securing the dodge. I mean, not a literal dodge, but making the attack miss so that you can just survive another attack and keep going.
Yeah, as we keep going, you're going to find, like, a lot of these cards basically break down into 2 things. They're either a lot of movement or giving you some kind of advantage on damage. And that's either preventing damage or getting an extra attack or adding the big red dice. And the next thing we're going to talk about is Vader Pal. And all of his tier 1 cards are movement cards. So that's Force Rush, Dark Energy, which isn't as good as Force Surge. Is Force Push, in my opinion. Face-to-face, Force Jump in this list is way better, especially because Palp, you can use it with Palp, and he gets 5 movement instead of just the 3. And then Looking for a Fight is a Vader-specific card, but it helps you. Looking for a Fight and Face-to-face both are just ways to get a little bit extra movement and perform an attack. If you're taking Vader, you want as much movement as you can, as much speed as you can to get where you're going. And I even think that while Force Surge is a tier 2, that's the one that lets you move at the end of an activation. In Vader Palp, I think it's really close to a tier 1.
I agree.
Especially because of how much unmitigated damage you can do. And so having that extra 2 to 3 is... will kill a lot of people, especially Palp at the end. He can kind of, he can jump in for the last two, three damages, tempt someone and do a lot of damage there.
Good point.
We're going to talk about Unlimited Power, which is Palp's card, a little bit later when we talk about unique specifics. And then tier three is the Sith cards, which is Lord of the Sith, which grants you an attack on someone else, and Force Lightning. Both of those, I don't think you should run them, because you should probably be putting points into cards somewhere else. They both cost three. Sorry, not Lord of the Sith. Lord of the Dark Side is the card, yeah, I was thinking of.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah, Lord of the Sith is terrible. You should never play it. It's legitimately...
Yeah, never play Lord of the Sith, or whatever that card's called.
As good as Son of Skywalker is, Lord of the Sith is that bad. Like, it doesn't give you extra ability to attack... It doesn't give you the extra ability. I would rant about this for hours, but yeah, Lord of the Sith is terrible.
You don't play it. You can't even force choke twice. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, it literally just lets you, like, you can move, attack, move, force choke, and move if you get lucky. It's
bad.
It's just awful.
Bad.
Like, they should fix that card. And it costs three.
Yeah.
If it costs zero, I could see playing it.
Yeah.
That's the end of my rant.
Okay, now on to spies. Now spies, this is going to apply, obviously, right now, only to Rebel spies and Imperial spies. There is the Claudite with scum, but... And the Claudite with scum can run all these cards and do great things with them, but primarily this is focusing on Rebel spies and then Agent Blaze with the Imperial Troopers. So your tier one, the best spy card in the game, is Intelligence Leak. What it does is it allows you to look at your opponent's hand, force them to discard one of their cards, and then that spy suffers strain equal to the point cost of the card that was discarded. It is amazing. It is an absolutely amazing card because it's going to allow you to burn a Son of Skywalker or a Grenadier or take initiative for free. I mean, there's just all these amazing cards. What it does is your opponent was planning on a tempo swing, but now with Intelligence Leak, you just turn that on its head. It's an amazing card. Tier 2 cards, these are cards that... You got to think about how you're going to play them, and you kind of have to build around them a little bit. But this is Comms Disruption, which allows you to, it's like a counter spell pretty much, but you can only counter cards equal to the number of spies you have on the board. And then Strategic Shift, which is an action that where you choose a player, and that player takes their hand, shuffles it into their command deck, and then draws two cards. It is so good against Scum Hunters. It is not as good against, like, Vader Palp, just because those lists aren't drawing as many cards. Lists that do not rely on heavy card draw, this card is worthless against them. But lists that are heavily dependent on card draw, it will win you the game. And then finally, a tier 3 card. This is a card that I think might start seeing more play as we get more of the mechanic, but we just aren't seeing it right now, is Fool Me Once. One that does is it allows your spy to suffer 2 strain. That's kind of part of its problem. And your opponent, they remove their discard pile from the game. So this turns off recurring loops, primarily like Targeting Network and Shared Experience, I think are the biggest two to get rid of. But right now, it's just not a big problem. But eventually, as that mechanic becomes a bigger deal, it might come back, and so I just want to toss that in.
It is what it is. You could get a shared experience. You could get a targeting network. It's not worth the points. But yeah, there's a good chance if something else comes up. And part of that is just because of the fact that Vader kind of killed the junk droid.
Yeah.
I think a junk droid was still going.
Good point.
It's almost an auto-include.
Good point.
And you can actually play with anyone, I believe. You just draw the card if you're a spy.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I'm sorry. You're correct.
And that's what makes it better. Like, makes it playable. If not, it's still terrible.
Good point.
The last thing we're going to talk about is unit-specific inclusions. So this is if you're playing this specific character, their card to go along with it. I'm going to start with the tier ones. If you're playing these characters, these cards are automatically included. Like, you 100% should. And essentially, they're all about getting extra actions. Or staying alive. It's one of those two. Son of Skywalker, Blaze of Glory, and Debts Repaid. So that's Luke's card, IG-88 card, and Chewie's card. Debts Repaid is the lowest of them because it has to have a trigger, but it still gives you an extra activation. And if you can keep Chewie alive, and I mean, his card is built on it. His new upgraded card is built on having it in your hand, which people are trying to decide if that makes it better or worse. But that's fine. You should play it regardless. The next is Draw, which is Vinto's card. Draw is incredible, especially with the Bolt Slinger, because draw for 1 point allows you a free attack, and so you can just bomb Vinto in, get really close, take two shots at one person while bolt slinging another, just doing little bits of damage, and then switch with draw, finish someone off. It's just a perfect cleanup card. It's costed right. You're all like, if you have it, you're going to get it off. Like there's no worry about it. It's really good. Like it's, you have to include it. The next two are more about keeping people alive than anything else. One of them is Miracle Worker, which is MHD's card. If you're playing MHD, you're playing Miracle Worker because Miracle Worker will ruin games because it's essentially just a dodge. Like it doesn't matter how much damage they do. You just Miracle Worker them. It brings them back to life as long as they're within three spaces and they heal three health. And so it just kind of is a waste of attack. The next is Cheat to Win. That's Lando's card. What it says is when you reroll a dice after you use Gambit, which is lets you switch out to any dice, you can set it to a side. I think of this as a defensive card. Kenny thinks of this as a defensive card. You can use it for offensive purposes, but it's not as good, like realistically, because when you're playing on a defense, someone shoots you, you roll a black dice, you get what it is. You go, okay, well, I'm going to die if I don't do this. So you switch to a white dice, you roll it, you see what you get.
Yeah, because you might get a dodge.
Yeah, you might get a dodge and not have to use it. And if you do get a dodge, you just laugh and walk away with it. And if you don't get a dodge, you play the cheat to win, you move it to a dodge, and you live to fight another day. And it's an amazing card. 100%. It just is an auto include. It should always be in there if you play in Lando.
On to tier two. Now, these are cards where you should include them if you're running their concomitant figures, but you don't need to. I mean, you might just need to make some space, and so it's not the worst thing in the world if you have to drop these cards. So first off, we have Extra Protection. This is Onar's card. When a figure within two spaces suffers three or more damage, he can move... I think, what is it? He moves two spaces and performs an attack. Is that what it is, JK?
Yeah. This one was a really hard cut for me when we were discussing it, because this card is really good.
This is really good.
The ultimate tier one, tier two.
That's a good comparison for him. I mean, it's just awesome. Onar's got a strong attack, and you want him to be the target of your enemy's attacks. But if they try and, like, pick someone else off, Extra Protection is going to give you that extra attack. So it's just awesome.
Its issue is that you're not in control of when it goes off, and that's kind of why I think it becomes a tier two.
Great point. Okay, so next we have One in a Million. This is Jin's card, which in the Vader meta is so good, especially with, JK mentioned, Wild Attack. Wild Attack is not a great card in most lists just because you're getting a red die and a white die, but you know, there's the risk of what is that going to give you? Realistically, it gives you an extra maybe two damage on the attack, which is awesome, but there's always the chance of the dodge. But what Jin's card allows her to do is play Wild Attack at when she declares an attack against Vader. So let's say Vader comes up. Jin gets herself in position, and the Vader player decides to activate. Jin, who is focused because you've been saving up for this, declares an attack on Vader at the start of his activation. She plays Wild Attack to add a white die to his defense pool and a red die to her pool. She plays Tools to the Job to add another red die to her defense pool. So now she's rolling three greens and two reds. Then she plays One in a Million to get rid of all of his defensive die. It is an amazing combo. It's not as hard to pull off as you think it is, especially if you're running lists that are focused on having smugglers, card draw, and like something like Ahsoka, because she also loves Wild Attack, and it will just allow you to just do insane amounts of damage. I've used it to do 11, 12 damage on Vader and stun him. You know, it's just a great card. Next, we have Unlimited Power. This is Palp's card. We talked about this earlier. We don't think it's tier one. Some people might say, oh, if you're going to run Palp, you've got to run his card. But we've seen how most good Palp players, Vader Palp players, what they're doing is they're being really aggressive with Palp. He is in the fray just as much as Vader is, so you don't need his card. That's kind of the whole idea about it. Next, we have Arcing Shot. This is Dracada's card. What it allows you to do is pretty much shoot around a corner at an enemy. Instead of targeting them, being able to draw a line of sight to them, you can target a space that they're adjacent to. You still have to be able to make range to their space, so you count spaces just like, you know, you are walking there. But it's awesome just in terms of, like, it's like a free attack that you wouldn't have normally been able to take. Ballistics Matrix is BT's card. This allows BT, you play it and it stays in your play area. It allows him to ignore, he gets priority target pretty much is what he gets. He can shoot through other figures. Right back at you is Ahsoka's card. This, I would say, is kind of an auto-include. Some people might disagree. I know people who run Ahsoka who don't run her card. But what this does is when a tactic is declared against you, you can spend, or you can play the card, and the enemy will just take one damage. But if you have got a defense pip, and you spend it when they declare the attack, and then you play right back at you, you'll deal 3 damage to them. It's like an assassinate. It's amazing, especially if it kills them before they have the chance to pull off the attack, then they just die. It's such a great card. Vanish, this is Davith's card. It's an action, but what it does is it makes him kind of invisible until the start of his next activation. Now, the problem with Vanish is Davith, that he's just not, he doesn't hit very hard, and so he might be able to play this card and just be a thorn in the enemy's side, but he's not doing enough damage for it to really matter. And finally, we have Hunt Them Down. This is the Inquisitor's card, and what it does is when he declares a lightsaber swing, I believe he gets to add 2 range to his attack, and the attack gains cleave 3. Is that right, JK? Okay. So what that does is it pretty much it gives the Inquisitor the ability to remove probably 2 figures. I mean, at least 1, and probably 2 figures with bonkers range with his lightsaber toss. It's a great card.
Yeah, the cleave becomes a cleave from 5 away.
There you go.
I mean, again, it's not an auto include because it costs 2. I think it should cost 1.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's good.
And the Inquisitor.
I normally will play 8 when I play Inquisitor, which
yeah.
I don't play Inquisitor as much anymore. But
yeah,
that's for another time.
Indeed.
Last is the tier 3, which is if you can fit it, you probably should fit it. I will never begrudge someone for playing them. The first Grand Ocean Terror. This is probably more tier 2 because if you're running Bossk, you're probably running it. It just it costs 2, and with the amount. Since he's a hunter, with the amount of hunter points that are out there, it's really hard to fit another 2-point card in there.
Good point.
So that's why I kind of think it's down to a 3-point cost card, on top of I don't think you necessarily run Bossk.
Yeah, good point.
But I do love Bossk, so I'm fine with that as well. The next two are the more playable cards. One is Greedo's card, which is Stroke of Brilliance. It's a free card. It costs 0. When someone attacks you, which you're always going to get attacked because you're Greedo and they can take a shot first, you get 2 defense pips and an evade, and so you're probably gonna like, and you're rolling a white dice, so you're probably gonna live through this attack. It's not as good as Smuggled Supplies. It gets edged out a lot of times in the current world of there's so many good 0-point cause, but you should definitely take a look at it. The last is On a Mission, which is Chopper's card. I like the idea of it. Every time I play Chopper, I like have it in my list, and then it slowly fades out. It just lets you push someone 5 spaces away, especially on these kind of bigger maps. You can push someone really far, get them in range of things. I don't know. It might not even be playable the more I look at it, but that's kind of the tier 3. Most of the time, you're probably not going to play them because by definition, you know, they're niche on themselves, and so they're niche in a niche, and so they're hard to fit in there, but that's our look at command cards.
Yeah, and I wanted to say that we obviously, you know, in the last 30-40 minutes, we've gone through a bunch of command cards, and when you're just getting started in Imperial Assault, or even if you've been playing for a few months, there is still so much to learn in terms of what command cards work with particular list combinations. I mean, eventually you will find that you are just going to be refining your command deck. You will be deciding between, you know, I've got 3 spaces that I need to find command cards for. I've got 9 choices, and you're just going to keep trying different combinations of them. And that's totally fine. We've tossed out a lot of command cards just to, again, give a kind of an overview in terms of if you're running this, you need to think about this. And you always need to think about this, like take initiative. You always need to have take initiative. It comes in the core box. It's a great card. It's the best card. You know, it's so good, blah, 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 blah. So that's kind of what this is about. It's just providing a general superstructure on which you can think about in terms of as I'm going forward, as I'm building lists within these certain archetypes or with these certain figures, what should I think about?
One card we forgot that I was thinking about during it is in the unit specific. If by chance Banth has come back, Jundland Terror is an auto include.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and again, whether or not Banth has come back completely, the maps are so big right now that it really hurts the Bantha. But I think the Bantha will always threaten people, And so if that ever comes back, Jedlin Terror is 100% should be an auto include. Both copies of it, because if you get it off, you're just wrecking lives.
Absolutely. JK is absolutely right on that score. Oh, one more thing is, if you've got questions about specific command cards, there are amazing resources available on the internet in terms of looking them up. One is Tabletop Admiral. Go to tabletopadmiral.com/Imperial Assault. It's a list builder, but it also has got every command card that has been released. And also go to boardwars.eu. They have actually got a card database where you can search for cards and you can figure out what cards do. That one's, it doesn't have a list building function, but it's still awesome in terms of just being able to see what, it's really good for seeing what cards come in each expansion. Great to know. As you're deciding what expansion should I buy, if I want to build this particular list, like for example, Negation. This is kind of a bummer, but Negation's an amazing card. You kind of need it if you're going to play most competitive lists. And it comes in the Return to Hoth expansion box. It's a $50 expansion box to get one single card, pretty much. I mean, it has HKs and it's got other things, but realistically, you're buying it just for that one card. That's kind of a bummer. But, you know, you can figure things like that out if you go and look on Board Wars. So I just wanted to toss that out there. All right, JK, well, do you have any other concluding thoughts?
No. I do. I'm going to say the two other cards that we didn't talk about are Opportunistic and Shoot the Messenger. If you're playing Scum, take a look at them. But that's all I'm going to say. I don't know where they fit in there. I think they used to be tier one. I think they're tier two, three now. But I think they deserve at least a mention. But that's my parting thoughts.
Well, that is awesome. And that also reminds me that we cannot be exhaustive or comprehensive.
Yeah.
We have tried to just give a overview, but we did forget cards because I primarily play Rebels and a specific kind of Rebels. JK, he used to play Scum and now he plays kind of like a little bit of many things. I would say JK's actually probably has got a wider breadth of list exposure than I do, but we're both we've got our ways that we play the game and ways that we build yep. decks. So we undoubtedly left things out, which is okay. I mean, that's, yep. we're happy to talk about them and hear feedback. If you've got something that you think is an auto include for whatever reason, let us know. Again, you can reach out to us on our Facebook page at Zion's Finest Imperial Assault, or you can contact us through email at zionsfinestia@gmail.com. And if you want, we'll be glad to invite you to the Slack channel. When we post our episodes on the forums, feel free to leave messages, leave comments. If you want some feedback, if you've got a list that you would like us to give some feedback in terms of command cards, we're happy to do it. It's probably best to do that on things like the Slack channel because that's more of like an ongoing discussion, but we'd be happy to respond to anything you've got. All right. Well, that is going to be it for us. Thank you for joining me, JK.
Anytime.
Everyone have an awesome day.